last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, all over the world, assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. Dear brothers and sisters, we're still continuing our discussion on the doubts and misconceptions raised on the existence of mother of Imam of the Age, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and if she was a Roman lady or Arab lady, a black or white lady. These are the actually, unfortunately, doubts that we need to answer in order to enlighten our brothers and sisters in faith with regard to these, to say that this is also impossible. We said that the story of a lady coming from Rome is not impossible in a sense. It can happen anyhow. But if the story is true or not, this is not a matter, and this is not a matter of discussion in Shia worldview and in Shia tradition. The topic that we need to discuss with presence of Islamic scholar from Qom Seminary School, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, is the knowledge of unseen of Imam Hadi alayhi salam or any other Imam of Ahlul Bayt. Sheikh Murtada, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam and thank you for having me. Unfortunately, when it comes to Ilmul Ghaib, again, we see that some of the Wahhabi scholars, they only pay attention to some verses of the Quran and ignore the others, and also ignore the narrations, not in Shia sources, but rather in their own sources, I mean the Sunni sources. Even a great Sunni scholar like Fakhr Razi claimed that the knowledge of unseen is not limited to the prophets.
Very true.
Secondly, Fakhr Razi continues, secondly, all the followers of religion, this is very interesting, all the followers of different religions and schools of thought, they believe that some dreams are true, and we have the ilm, a science, a field of study, which is about interpretation of the dream, and some people are able to tell you about the future through the dreams. This is Fakhr Razi referring to the fact that knowledge of the unseen is not limited to the prophets. This is the second point, and then he mentions other point, third and fourth. So, you see, even according to Sunni scholars, it's not limited to the prophets.
So we need just to tell this respected critic to study your lessons well.
Exactly, that's the point.
First, refer to the sources, to the interpreters of both the schools, and then come and say something. So you need to know first what you have as a base, then you can mention an idea and work on that idea and claim it.
And not only that, there are stories about the second caliph again, that he had also the knowledge of the unseen. The next point, again, is that if you want to say that according to the verse of the Noble Book of Quran, only the prophets, they had access to the knowledge of the unseen, then what about the narrations in Sunni sources which tell you that, for example, the second caliph, he had the knowledge of the unseen as well?
Yeah.
There is an interesting narration in Ustul Ghaba, volume 2, page 244, that once the second caliph, of course, as Shia, we do not necessarily believe in these narrations, these are in Sunni sources, but we want to prove for this Wahhabi scholar that these are mentioned in your own books, mm-hmm. which means that knowledge of the unseen is not limited to the prophet.
Very true.
He was giving a sermon on Friday in Salatul Jum'ah. Suddenly, he said that something like that, Sariya Kuh Kuh. And people asked for the reason that why did you mention that? And it seemed that it was not in Arabic language. And he said that it came to my mind that the polytheists want to attack the Muslims. And I shouted that take refuge to the mountains. After 1 month, the army, the Muslim army, which was led by a person called Sariya, they went back to the city of Medina. And they said that on the very day, on that Friday, on the same hour, they heard a voice like that of the second caliph, which was shouting, Sariya Kuh Kuh. And the army of Muslim, they took refuge in a mountain and they overcame the enemy. So this is one story talking about the fact that according to this narration, the second caliph also knew the knowledge of the unseen. Let me just share one more narration in Sahih Bukhari. It's been mentioned that Sahih Bukhari, volume 4, page 200. According to this narration, the Holy Prophet is quoted to have said,
yeah,
among the children of Israel, there were some people that they were muhaddath, meaning that they were not prophet, but the angels talked to them. And if we have such a person among my nation, that person would be Umar ibn al-Khattab.
Yeah.
Commenting on this narration, Nawawi, one of the greatest Sunni scholars, says that the meaning of muhaddath, those people that are talked to, is those people that receive a kind of inspiration and the angels talk to them. So you see, we want to, of course, we do not want to say these are true narrations, I repeat that. But the point is that these are all the facts. The angels talked to Maryam salamullah alayha, and this is for sure because this is in the Quran. The very angels talked to mother of Musa alayhi salam, and this is true because it is in the Quran. The narrations of the Sunni scholars tell us that it's not limited, ilm al-ghayb is not limited to the prophets, rather others may also have the knowledge of the unseen. So you cannot claim that the story of the mother of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is rejected because it involves Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam having the knowledge of the unseen.
Very true. And the range of the witnesses that we have for those who had the knowledge of unseen is too wide that cannot be actually denied, whether in Sunni sources or Shia sources. So the number of people who have been actually introduced to have the knowledge of unseen are not few. So this is not something that can be easily nullified and denied.
That's true. At the end of this question, I would like to mention one important point about the mother of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Although we have this difference among the Shia scholars, whether she was from Rome or she was the slave girl of Hakima Khatun or a black slave girl, there is no about the fact that the wife of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, who was the mother of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, she was a very virtuous lady. She was a slave girl. And there is no doubt about that. Why we have such differences? Because of two reasons, maybe. One is that at the end of the day, she was a slave girl. Especially at that time, it was not something common for the historians to write about all the slave girls who used to live in the houses of the imams of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam. And second of all, which is more important, is the fact that the house of Imam al-Hadi and the house of Imam al-Askari alayhimus salam were under high control and supervision by the Abbasid caliphs.
Yeah.
So even the birth of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam happens in a very miraculous way. I mean, his mother does not show pregnancy for...
This is the next doubt, Sheikh, actually, which was posed again,
yeah,
with regard to the signs of pregnancy that was not shown. And they say that it is impossible for a person, for a lady, not to show any signs of pregnancy. And that's another case that they can raise against the existence of Imam of the Age and also the issue of Mahdaviya.
Wherever you be,
my point here is that why some of the details about Lady Narges or Malika are not known, because of the fact that the house of Imam al-Askari and Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam were controlled by the Abbasid caliph. So it is very natural for us to not have much information about the mother of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam and the details about her lifetime.
Yeah, based on the doubt that I just mentioned, and it was seen also in the critics of this brother. Is it really something, again, exceptional that when there is no sign of pregnancy in a lady, it can dismiss and it can deny the whole story? It just came to my mind when Lady Maryam, salamullah alayha, became pregnant on Isa alayhi salam while she had no husband. How can they justify that? If there was the will of God on that issue, then the same will can actually can be applied in this issue as well.
That's
but regardless of this, is there any way just to answer this doubt?
Okay, when it comes to the period of the pregnancy of Lady Najis Salamullahi Alayha, this Wahhabi scholar, he mentions that the story of her pregnancy is even more weird. She compares that to the story of her coming from to Arabian Peninsula. He says that the story of her pregnancy is even more weird because she showed no sign of pregnancy, and even on the night before the birth of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, there was no sign. And even Narjis salamullahi alayha herself, on the night before the birth of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, she did not know about that and told Hakima, the aunt of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, and of course Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, that I do not see any sign of pregnancy. This is what is mentioned by this Wahhabi scholar. The point is that we have two groups of the narrations. One group of the narrations talk about the period of the pregnancy of Najis Khatun, which was, I mean, naturally 9 months. And the fact that she did not show any sign of pregnancy. This has been mentioned in various narrations, and as Shia, we believe in it. And we will talk about the philosophy and the reasons. But we have another narration which talk about the fact that even in the night before the birth of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, she did not know about her pregnancy, and she did not show any sign of being pregnant. Mm-hmm. This has been mentioned, as far as I searched, only in one narration in Kamaluddin, and the chain of the narration is weak. So we cannot rely on this very narration. And interestingly, this Wahhabi scholar has resorted only to this one narration in Kamaluddin. So the narrations that tell us that even on the night before the birth of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, his mother did not know anything, she did not show any sign of pregnancy, it's not an authentic narration. But the fact that during the pregnancy, she did not show the sign of pregnancy during all this period of 9 months, it's been mentioned in the narrations, and it's not, again, something unprecedented. Inshallah, we will mention the fact that it's not something weird. We have other cases in the history of Islam and in the narrations. And I think what you mentioned regarding Lady Maryam salamullah alayha is also a good example, but we need to analyze it, inshallah, in the following.
Sheikh, there is a point, I don't know if it can be played and posed in this show or not. One of our lady relatives, she had exactly the same issue. Whenever she became pregnant, she had no sign at all. And it was famous in our family. I don't know if it is good, suitable to be mentioned here in this show or not. I don't know. And it was quite...
So for how many months, you mean?
Even up to the end, the 9th month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was actually... she was famous for this feature of her. Mm. Even if... I don't know if you are familiar. For the ladies, more than 4 months of pregnancy, they cannot enter airplanes and they cannot take any flights. She, even at the 9th month of her pregnancy, could enter any airplane. And she took her trip whenever she wanted. At least she was known to have no signs of pregnancy till the 9th month of her. So it is something, in case they want to dismiss and not deny it,
yeah,
I myself seen
point.
The case, and this lady is still alive.
Yeah. But more than that, we want to say that it's a kind of miracle by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was because of the situation. Like the mother of Musa alayhi salam, at that time Pharaoh was looking for any pregnant lady to kill the baby boys. It was the same at the time of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam and Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. They were looking for Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam to kill him. So through a miracle by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it happened that she
wanted
did not
to protect
show.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Murtada, for your explanations and answers to the question that we posed in this first session. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope you enjoyed the show. Hopefully we'll be back again with some other doubts and misconceptions on Mahdavi or Mahdism. Till our next session, Allah in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. O Allah, protect your representative, Al-Hujjah bin al-Hasan, Imam al-Mahdi, and send salutation upon him and his ancestors, now as well as all the times. Be his guardian, protector, guide, and assistance. Help him in his path and be watchful for him till you let him rule over the earth willingly and cause him to live in it for a long time.